Okay. There are two matters of old business, and then we'll get on to the new business. We left last time with two questions, one question on Tosfos and one question, not a question on Tosfos, a question of our understanding of Tosfos, and a question of our understanding of the Gemara. That Tosfos pointed out, Tosfos Ramaskel Rav Yehuda Omer, that the land masses that were within the lines, the east-west lines that would extend from Eretz Yisrael, that Rav Petter asked Rabbeinu Tam, why aren't those land masses nowadays Chayev and Trumos and Maestros? Rabbeinu Tam says, because they don't pass like Rav Yehuda. However, the Ri, as Lekachi Eshlomar, no. In other words, Yitachen, that even according to Rav Yehuda, even if we had Paschim like Rav Yehuda, it would not be Trumos and Maestros on those land masses. Not because of Rashi, that land is not within the Yam, not within the Gvul, but rather because Shalokavshu Hakol Ole Bavel. And the question was asked, but that part was never Nichbash even by Ole Mitzrayim. Why does Tosfos over here bring in Ole Bavel? What does this have to do with Ole Bavel? It was never Nichbash by anyone. So I spoke to Rav Bednarsh about it, and he felt that Tosfos over here was basically saying Shelo Nichbash Klal. In other words, even by Ole Bavel, but certainly by, it was not Nichbash by Ole Mitzrayim. Namely, it was never Chayev in Trumos Maestros. According to Rav Yehuda, it's not as though it had been Chayev at one time, and then when Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, that ended the Chiyuv of southern France in Trumos and Maestros, and it wasn't regenerated by Ezra or by Ole Bavel. But rather, this was never enough Gemina. There was never enough Gemina, according to Rav Yehuda, of Trumos and Maestros on the land masses. Why then, what then does it mean to draw the lines if there was never enough Gemina in terms of the land masses? So, Lechora, the only enough Gemina would be our Gemara in terms of a get coming from those areas, whether one would require b'fanayinechtam according to Rav Yehuda. That Rav Yehuda is saying over here that in the Sfina there would be no need for b'fanayinechtam, hu hadin, according to Tosfos, on the land masses, because the question over here is not necessarily connected with the Trumos and Maestros. Not thrilled with it, but in other words, that over here that Tosfos says the lo kavshu hakol ole bavel basically means the lo nichbash. That area was never nichbash by anyone. Okay. In any case, it was a good question. Yes.
I mean, still, keeping the fire some kind of presence of Jews. So how would we say that there's no fire? You don't say Karayetam. When there's no, every Okina Shimon is no.
You're very, very correct. I agree with you 1,000% that according to the Ri, and this is Lechora, the Ri is supposed to be Nutam, B'fanayinechtam is only a din in the Iker Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, not even within the Gvulot that go beyond the Iker Yishuv. And clearly, the Yam and Lest Elhol, the Rav Yehuda disagrees. That according to Rav Yehuda, B'fanayinechtam is purely a din in Shem Eretz Yisrael, nothing to do with just Eretz Yisrael. And we have these theoretical lines, and that's all that you need. Namely, a shita that we haven't seen up to this point. If you want to, closer to the shita of the Rambam. The Rav Yehuda over here would be the makor of the Rambam, that we would use the gvulos of Ole Mitzrayim for b'fanayinechtam, even though there is no practical consequence to those gvulot, other than that they represent the Shem Eretz Yisrael. So I guess an afkimino may also be in terms of smicha, a glarufa, and it's those dinim that are totally in Shem Eretz Yisrael as opposed to kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But it's very, very radical. Okay, that's one point. The second point was much more disturbing to us because it was a question of sitting pshat in the Gemara. Just how does one learn the Gemara according to the Rishonim? What is this kal v'chomer over here that since if you sell an eved to Akko, he goes free, and Akko is close to Eretz Yisrael, kal v'chomer, were you to sell an eved to Surya, he would go free because Surya is farther from Eretz Yisrael than Akko. It's farther northeast. And so in that respect, we have a kal v'chomer that would answer on Abaye. Our question is, the Surya that has this androgynous, a little bit of Eretz Yisrael, a bit of Chutz Laaretz, what about in terms of the knas of selling an Eved? So we have this kal v'chomer. So he said that this is wonderful. It's katoferch according to the Ri. This is, when you go back to Tosfos Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Ri brings a raya from our Gemara. He brings a raya from our Gemara to his chat. You see, we're talking about Akko that has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's a place which is chayiv and trumos and maisros, but it's far away from the Iker Yishuv. And b'chol zot there's this knas. So kal v'chomer Surya, which is chayiv and trumos and maisros, and is farther away, kal v'chomer, there would be this knas. So that works out mamish, mamish, beautiful. But mainstream Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Tam, understood that Akko is the place that has no Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Akko is chutz laaretz. So what's the raya? When you sell an eved to chutz laaretz, he goes free. But Surya has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What's going on over here? That's what we got stuck on last time. Yes?
According to the Ri, Akko has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and the Isser of the Knas of selling an eved is Atz, that we're concerned he's going to be over in the Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael, where he's not going to keep his eretz. So
what we're saying is that this is a general principle, that when we're dealing with the Knas Drabanan, that many times Drabanan made their Knas lo plug. Namely, that even though the exact reasons that the Knas originally was set up may not apply, but the Knas still does apply, because otherwise Natata Dvarecha lo shiurim. So you're correct. We had thought of explaining the, in other words, the question of whether there is a Knas in Surya or not, based on what's the reason for the knas. If the reason is mitzvah satzulios, there's no reason for a knas. If the reason is because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, yitzachen, if we have tumas eretz ha'amimim, then there would be a reason. But within the kal v'chomer over here of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, he's assuming, no, in other words, that even if you hold that the reason would be because of mitzvah satzulios, b'chol zot, Chazal goes there on places that are far from the Yishuv, that the knas is going to apply. A low plug, any place which is far from the Yishuv, the knas is going to apply. And we said that this may be totally in, like the Lecha Mishnah says, that the knas is not because of the mitzvos, it's not because of the Shem Eretz Yisrael, it's because you're taking this eved away from the yeshivas. You're taking him away from the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, which there is learning. You're removing this eved from, and this eved is chayiv in Talmud Torah, like a woman would be chayiv in Talmud Torah, and clearly the closer that you are to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the more that chiyuv could be fulfilled. In other words, you're correct that this would be, you know, it's using a different line of reasoning, either a lo plug or working off of the Lecha Mishnah. But what do we do according to Rabbeinu Tam? In other words, what kind of kal v'chomer is it? Akko is chutz laaretz, Surya is ben hashmasha. This is 50-50. It has aspects of Eretz Yisrael. So I checked back into my notes. I mentioned to you I learned Gittin with the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And he wanted to say that our Gemara is assuming that Akko was not nichbash by Olei Bavel. And then it's the same as Akko. And I said that, sorry, Surya was not nichbash by Olei Bavel, just like Akko was not nichbash. They were both nichbash originally. This one was nichbash by Olei Mitzrayim. Akko was nichbash by Olei Mitzrayim. Surya was nichbash by David. Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush. So they originally both had Trumos and Maisros. Then neither was nichbash by Olei Bavel, so we only have Trumos and Maisos Drabanan, both in Akko and in Surya, and we have a Kal v'chomer. Now, it's to move it in that direction. The problem, that's the way Rav Aaron wanted to learn. There's nothing against it in the Gemara, nothing for it either. But what that does is, to a certain degree, is open a Pandora's box in terms of understanding our Sugya. That I thought of getting to separately, but L'chora, what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik did, sort of ticks off a question. What exactly is the question of our Gemara as to whether Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush or not? Isn't that like a totally irrelevant factor? Who cares whether Kibush Yochid is Shmei Kibush in terms of the status of Surya? The status of Surya in terms of Trumas and Maisros should be totally only in one factor. Did Olei Bavel, and Olei Bavel means any time during the time of Bayis Sheni, was that area muchzak by Olei Bavel, or was it not muchzak by Olei Bavel? Did Jews live there in the time of Bayis Sheni? If Jews lived there in the time of Bayis Sheni, so then there would be a chiyuv of Trumas and Maisros. If Jews didn't live there in the time of Bayis Sheni, there'd be no chiyuv of Trumas and Maisros. Right? The Bayis Sheni is kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha l'asid lavo. What happened before that is kitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'asid lavo. It's purely of historical interest. So why over here does the Gemara get involved in the whole question of Kibush whether the kibush of David was kidsha, was a kibush yachid or a kibush rabbin, my nafkamina. The real question is, were Olei Bavel there? Was there a chazak of Olei Bavel? That's our question in terms of Akko. That's our question in terms of everywhere else. Why are we getting back to questions that are prehistoric, that have nothing to do with halach lemaisa? So I think it's a very proper question to ask. Anyway, but you know, the moment Rav Aaron Zweig said no, kibush, you know, it's David conquered it, but Olei Bavel never went into it. So then, who cares if David conquered it? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? And if David hadn't conquered it, might not have kibush yachid shmei kibush, kibush yachid lo shmei kibush. What difference does it make? So here we have a Reb Chaim that would deal with it, and this Reb Chaim is in the Reb Chaim Mipi Hashmua, not an hour sugya, but there's a later sugya on Daf Mem Zayin that deals with whether yesh kinyan la'akum la'afkim ide trumos ha'maisros. And on that sugya on Daf Mem Zayin, there's a Reb Chaim Mipi Hashmua. And for those of us who find it hard to understand Reb Chaim Mipi Hashmuas, so Rav Schechter quotes it, digests it, and then puts it down in very, very clear manner in the Eretz HaTzvi. I think it's page Resh Yud Aleph, not mistaken. It's an article on the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. In any case, Reb Chaim was bothered by a Rambam that we all know, we all spit out to everyone, but we don't know what the source is. The Rambam says that everyone knows that we pass in Kedusha Rishona Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha L'Asug L'Avo. Kedusha Shnia Kidsha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Asug L'Avo. So Rambam says, and do you want to know why this is? So he writes in Hilchos Beis HaMechira, again he writes in Hilchos Trumas, because Kedusha Rishona was one of Kibush. Kibush comes and goes. Kedusha Shnia was one of Chazaka, and Chazaka is here to stay. That's the Rambam, right? That in words, that which was Nichbash was Nichbash. That which was not Nichbash, but was Nechzak, that the Jews lived there, and that they civilized the area, they lived there, that remains even if they're no longer Jews. And, you know, it's sort of very, very Western-oriented thought process that, you know, if we do something sort of stage by stage in terms of Yishuv, that has more of a lasting power than Kibush. Kibush is fight, is might, is, you know, it really shouldn't be. You know, it shouldn't be Kibush in the world. Everyone should walk around with roses. So Kibush is something which is temporary, but Yishuv is something which is permanent. But Al Pisvara, if Kibush disappears the moment that you're Nichbash, doesn't Yishuv disappear the moment that there's Golos? In other words, what? Why should Chazaka be more than Kibush? And what makar do we have for this? Where did the Rambam find this anywhere? So those of you who were around last year, Rav Bednar spoke about this, not mistake, maybe 2 years ago, I remember. It was what, Shabbaton, which he spoke about. I remember whether it was last year or 2 years ago. But what? Last year, okay. So he quoted Reb Chaim Mipi Hashmua, and Rav Schechter also quotes it, that the source of the Rambam is the Yerushalmi in Shviz. The Yerushalmi quotes the pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, V'heitivcha v'hirbacha me'avosecha, that a later generation is going to have one up on an earlier generation. And the Yerushalmi explains, Avoseichem lo haya aleihem o malchus shamayim. In order for Yehoshua to give Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael, he had to conquer Eretz Yisrael. He had to take it away from the Kenani and the Chiti and the Yevusi. Only that would give a Kedusha. Atem, afal pisha o malchut aleichem. You, namely turning to the generation of Bayit Sheni, you can give Kedusha even though O Malchut is on you. And Reb Chaim understood it as follows. Reb Chaim understood that certainly Eretz Yisrael requires Kibush. In order to be able to give Kedusha, you can't give Kedusha if someone else is being sholeit in Eretz Yisrael. It has to be under Jewish autonomy, under Jewish authority, for there to be Kedusha. But once already there was Kibush, then you could re-enter that same land that was once Nichbash and be Misyashev, and that will give a Kedusha. Namely, Yishuv can't give the first Kedusha. Once something was already Nichbash, then Yishuv can regenerate the Kedusha. And when it's regenerated forever. that we have a gzeiras hakasuv that the avos, in order to be able to give the original kedusha, had to have kibush. Once you had the kibush of the avos, then the heitivcha v'hir b'cha, Kosh Baruch Hu allows us to regenerate the kedusha via chazaka. Okay, namely, what Reb Chaim is pointing out is that were there to be a piece of land on which there was never kibush, then chazaka would be irrelevant. Chazaka can't substitute for kibush. Kibush is that which gives the kedusha. Once we have the latent kedusha of kibush, then we can regenerate it via chazaka. But if we never had a kibush, there can never be a chazaka. Chazaka can't work on its own. What's chazaka? The fact that the United Nations allows you to come into the land, that's chazaka. They allow you to come in, they could send you out. But if we're dealing with a land that was already nichbash, then the chazaka can create the kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha l'asud lavo. Therefore, in terms of Surya certainly was, there was a chazaka in the time of Bayesheni on Surya. The Malchei Chashmonoi, that they extended the boundaries of Ezra all the way up into Lebanon. But the question is, does that mean anything? If kibush, yachid shemei kibush, if David's kibush was already a kibush, then when the Malchei Chashmonoi returned to that same area and lived there, even though they may be under the Romans or under the Greeks or under whoever, then that would already be considered to be a chazaka that would be kitchel shaitel v'kitchel asid lavo. However, if Malchei Chashmonoi, if David HaMelech was kibush yachid lav shmei kibush, if it was never a meaningful kibush halachically, then who cares of what's going to be with the chazaka later on? So therefore, if you want to know whether Surya is going to be chayav and trumos and maestros, whether there's going to be a chiv of trumos and maestros, we have to look back and see whether there was a kibush by David. If there was a kibush by David, then the chazaka later on is going to regenerate that kedusha. If there was never al pidin a kibush, because kibush yavet lav shemei kibush, then there's nothing for the chazaka to regenerate. So this is not going in the direction of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wants to say that our Gemara is assuming that there was never a yishuv of Olei Bavel in Surya, and therefore you can compare it to Akko. But in other words, the whole. If you say that, then who cares whether kibush yachid shemei kibush? The history is only meaningful if we're dealing with a regeneration at a later time. Otherwise, history is not meaningful. So, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Rav Chaim don't go hand in hand. And according to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, we're back to our problem of understanding the Gemara. What's the Kal V'Chomer? What's the Kal V'Chomer? If really we have Olei Bavel that created a chazaka in Surya, and Olei Bavel never created a chazaka in Akko, that Akko always remained a extraterritorial mitzad the Yishuv, then, you know, what are we dealing with over here in terms of our Kal V'Chomer? So we go back to the question, but at least we have a broader understanding of the sugya in terms of kibush yachid shmei kibush or not. Yes?
According to Rav Chaim, should it be the opposite, that you should rishon the kibush l'shaita v'lo atidlovo
and kibush l'shaita v'lo atidlovo? No, that's what it's saying over here. It's not a svara. It's a gzeres hakasuv. V'heitivcha v'hir b'cha me'avosecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows there's a yiridas hadoros. So in the original door, he insisted on a kibush. Without, as long as all malchus of the goyim is there, there's no possibility of kedusha. The moment the kibush was ended, the kibush was ended. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of his rachamim to us, said the second, you know, when to regenerate that kedusha, all you require is a chazaka, and that the heitivcha v'hir b'cha me'avosecha, I'm going to allow that kedusha to remain.
Even with that.
Once there was a yishuv, even if the yishuv is now no longer existent, the kedusha is going to remain. That's gzeiras hakasuv. It's not a svara. It's gzeiras hakasuv. Afal pi she'ol malchus shemayim aleichem. Afal pi she'ol malchus shemayim aleichem. I'm going to allow that kedusha to remain. Yes?
If at the end of the day we say kibush yachid lav shmei kibush, so then there's still nothing to talk about
in regards to this. On a deraisa plane. However, what the Rambam points out is that in all of these areas we have a din of Trumos and Maestros Midrabonon. It's no worse than any area that was conquered by Olei Mitzrayim and not Misyashev by Olei Bavel, that we're going to have a din Drabonon. In other words, there are two levels of Trumos and Maestros. One is the Doraisa level, one is the Drabonon level. To be Chayav Trumos and Maestros Mida Oraisa, There you need that the chazaka of Olei Babel to regenerate the original Kedusha, the classic Kedusha. That the parts of Eretz Yisrael where you had a shame Eretz Yisrael and not Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael, they're still chayev in Trumas and Isos, they're chayev midrabanan. Then you have the whole question in terms of Shemitah in those areas. Right? And that, you know, it's in where exactly the Gvulos were, v'chule. Yes?
So the second time around, if they would have been Kovesh, so then it for sure would have been Kedusha's Babel?
The second time around, had they been Kovesh, it certainly would have been. Yeah.
So there's nothing special about Chazaka.
It's Afalpi. The Chazaka is an Afalpi. It's a booby prize. And it's a, you know, it's that, that's the Heitivcha v'hirbacha me'avosecha. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a dispensation that there's no need for Kibush. We can do with Chazaka even though Umos Olam are still Sholeit. That's how we're trying to study the Yerushalmi. Not that Chazaka innately is better than Kibush. That's what Binyamin pointed out. Why should Chazaka innately be better than Kibush? But rather, that simply it's a different generation, and therefore there are different criteria. Okay, with that introduction, now let's move over to the androgynous of Surya. We said there are three areas in which it's similar to Eretz Yisrael. That it's Chayev b'maiser u'b'shvias k'Eretz Yisrael, harot zelikones b'betar u'nichnas, Hakones Soda v'chu. Let's take them one by one, like the Gemara does, and then go back to the other side of those in those ways that are similar to Chutz Laretz. Chayev the Trumos and Maisos Keretz Yisrael, Keretz Yisrael. The Gemara is assuming that we have over here a real kedusha, a real bona fide kedusha. Kaneret that this Bryce is assuming Kibush Yachid Shemei Kibush. What is the difference between Kibush Yachid and Kibush Rabin? What was the fault? What was missing within the Kibush of David HaMelech of Surya that we have a Machlokes Tanoim as to whether it has a status of Kibush or not? Why would we call it Kibush Yachid as opposed to Kibush Rabin? After all, we're dealing with David Melech Yisrael. So why would that which is conquered by a Melech be called Kibush Yachid? The Melech is the lave of Klal Yisrael. The Melech represents Klal Yisrael. No. So here we have a three-way Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. So let's start off with Rashi. What does Rashi say? Let's read the Rashi. Kibush Yachid, the David, Shelo hayu kol Yisrael b'yachad k'derech shehayu b'kibush Yehoshua, hayu kulam v'kavshua l'tzorech kol Yisrael kodem chaluka, Avol David lo kavash ela l'tzorcho. Rashi is crystal clear. What over here is the borderline between Kibush Rabim and Kibush Yachid, Daniel?
That all of Klal Yisrael were behind Kibush Rabim and David did not have all of Klal Yisrael.
What word over here is Rashi taking and using it in two senses? If we take this word and put a vav at the end, then it is...
Nachon,
exactly. The question is, for whom, what was the motivation of the kibush? If the motivation of the kibush was for Klal Yisrael, that's called Kibush Rabin. If the motivation of the kibush was for his own grandeur, in other words, to give David HaMelech a certain status among Umos HaOlam, that now Eretz Yisrael's boundaries are larger, he puts fear into the hearts of other countries, but this is what's called Litzor Cho, as opposed to Litzor Cham, then no. Then Rashi gives augments it a bit. How do we know that the kibush of Yehoshua was Litzorach Kol Yisrael, Shehayu Kol Yisrael B'yachad? Namely, this was a communal war. This was a war where all of the Shvatim participated. There was the soldiers from every Shevet and Shevet. As came by David, he had his soldiers that he trained in his own manner. Maybe there was no one there from Yisachar. Maybe there was no one there from Asher in this battle. That's because it was Litzorcho as opposed to Litzorcham. With that, I think, you know, it's we can understand also the Rashi in Avodah Zarah. The Rashi in Avodah Zarah, who appears to be going at loggerheads with our Rashi. The Rashi over there deals l'chora, what appears to be, with different criteria. Kibush Surya, Aram Tsova, Usmucha le'Eretz Yisrael, V'kivsha David, V'chibra le'Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, shelo al pi hadibur ubelo shishim ribo. The kari lay kibush yachid. Rashi appears to be different criteria. What is a kibush yachid? What appears to be from Rashi over here? What two criteria do you need for kibush rabim that were missing in kibush yachid? Shishim ribo and what does al pi hadibur mean practically? Urim v'tumim, right? Al pi hadibur, that in other words, that when you have urim v'tumim and shishim ribo, that's kibush rabim. If you're missing urim v'tumim and shishim ribo, that's kibush yachid. Is there really a stira between the two Rashis? Yes.
Well, when it's at the numbers, Rashi in our sugya does say kol yisrael. So in other words, that's mashma shishim ribo. That's a little mashma.
Okay, but is there a way that Rashi over here mentions, what about Urim V'Tumim?
Is it Kirushua in Rashi here? Maybe perhaps that's the aspect of the story.
Could be, yes.
Rashi and Bozar is just giving another expression of
what. Right. No, in other words, that we have a criteria, and then we have support to the criteria. The criteria is litzorcham or litzorcho. What would be a raya that something is litzorcham? Shishim ribo. I mean, shishim ribo isn't the criteria. Shishim ribo is just a raya that it was really litzorcham. And hu adin in terms of urim v'tumim. What does urim v'tumim have to do with sorcham? So here we have a Rambam, very well, relatively well-known Rambam, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. In Perek Yud, where the Rambam is talking about the Urim V'tumim and who is allowed to use it. For whom will the Urim V'tumim open its secrets? So the Rambam says in Perek Yud of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, where he deals with the Big Day Kahuna, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Beis. V'ein nish'olim bahen lehedyot, ela o lemelech, o lebezdin, o lemishet tzorech tzibur bo, shenemar v'lefnei Elazar ha-kohen ya'amod. Hu ze ha-melech, v'chol Yisrael, ze hu mashuach melchama, o mishet tzorech ha-tzibur b'she'el aso, v'kol ha'eda, ela bezdin ha-gadol. Namely, what is the criteria of using Urim V'Tumim? Who is allowed to use Urim V'Tumim? Someone who is representing the Tzibur. So Urim V'Tumim, when there's a need of Urim V'Tumim, that means you have a Tzibur. The Melech generally represents the Tzibur. Were the Melech to ask the Urim V'Tumim, should I invest in Merrill Lynch or should I invest in Lehman Brothers, that the Urim V'Tumim is not going to answer him. Because that's not a person that's Sorech HaTzibur, even if he happens to be a Melech. If he's asking as a Melech, like when David asked, should I go up to Arei Yehuda, you know, where it's and declare myself as Melech, and Urim says, yes, go to Hebron, that's being a Melech. David became a Melech of Klal Yisrael in Hebron. The Urim V'Tumim will deal with a question that relates to Klal Yisrael. Generally, that question is asked by the Melech, by the Beis Din HaGadol, or by Misha, Ha Tzibur Yeshbo Tzorech, right? Whoever represents the Malchus at that time, that then the Urim V'Tumim is going to respond. So over here, Shishim Ribo and Urim V'Tumim are symptoms of that this is Litzor Kam. Over here, David HaMelech, this was neither with Urim V'Tumim nor Shishim Ribo, this was Litzor Ko. But again, the criteria is Tzor Ko or Tzor Kam. These are simply rayos to that approach, yes? I don't know necessarily whether, and in the time of David HaMelech Shalayu, Kol Yisrael Yachad Kedera Shahayu B'Kibush Yehoshua Shahayu Kulam, in other words, again, Rashi stresses, Avol David Lo Kavash Ela Litzorcho. He doesn't repeat, I think over here, that what Rashi is distinguishing over here, between V'Kavshua Litzorach Kol Yisrael, or litzorcho. That's what I could. If you want to, you can learn there are two criteria, three criteria. But I'd be much happier saying that Rashi is Kum. Now you have one criteria. One criteria with number of litmus tests. If you want to, I can't disagree with you. Yes?
What was Dublin doing? Why was he just to understand what Dublin, why was he capturing Syria belonging to Pfizer?
It was Laharbot Kvodo. Laharbot Kvodo, to give him, in other words, to give him territory. Normally kings, I mean, no one's going to cares very much about the king of Luxembourg, right? Masha'en king, a king of something which has a certain area, that is considered to be more. In other words, it would be something that would be a feather in his cap. I mean, you know, it'd also bring in tax money, etc., etc. It would also give make housing cheaper. I don't know. In other words, it would do other things as well, but that's not what he was into. He was, and that's why he didn't ask the Urim V'Tumim. He knew that this was a battle that he is fighting, not according to Rashi understanding. The Rambam disagrees.
Right.
We'll come to the Rambam. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi on the Metzius of what was the Chisaron by David that we're going to see in a minute. But before we get to the Rambam, let's see Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rashi and disagrees. According to Tosfos, Rashi is very interesting, but we have a Sifri that precedes Rashi. And if we have to choose between Rashi and a Sifri, let's choose a Sifri. What does the Sifri say? What over here is the Chisaron of David HaMelech? Nachon. That here you have Yevus sitting in Yerushalayim. Was David HaMelech going out conquering Aram Tzova when Yerushalayim is not yet conquered? And therefore we have a Knas on David that this is considered to be Kibush Yochid, and it's going to lack the total Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a Chisaron. There's going to be Utumas Eretz Amamim. There's going to be Knossos. There's going to be Dinim Fanei Nechtam. Right? In other words, that these Dinim are going to apply even though David was Kovish and he was Melech, v'chulei v'chulei. That's the criteria of Tosos. And then Tosos continues to come to a very, very radical conclusion that since the criteria of Tzorech is not the criteria, had a David HaMelech simply switched the timeline, had he first conquered Yerushalayim, and then he would have gone to Aram Tzova on his own, Litzarko, that would have been Kibush Rabim. Namely, it's only Kibush, there's only one criteria. The criteria is setting priorities. The priority has to be first, you conquer that which I asked you to conquer, and then if you want to go ahead and conquer more, b'simcha. And even if you conquer the more for Tzarko, that's irrelevant. That's where Rashi ends up. Shekol ma shehayu kovshim yichutz la'aretz hayakadosh afilu yachid. Afilu yachid. Once Eretz Yisrael is conquered, then if David HaMelech wants to go and conquer the rest, that would have a din of full kedushas la'aretz. There's only one din of kibush rabim, and that is you have to follow the order of the Torah. First do this, and then do that. And okay, that's Tosfos. Yes. No, it's dafk. It, even afilu yachid.
No, because according to Tosfos, there's no concept of yachid in order.
Nachon.
So then.
Now we're going to see, but there is a region who disagrees with Tosfos.
No, but I'm saying if yachid and rabbi is defined by order, then once it's in order, then it's not afilu yachid. Yachid is a rabbi.
Nachon. Within Tosfos, you're correct. It's sort of unnecessary, but we're going to see that Tosfos wrote it because there was a third shita that would be. We'll see in a minute. Yes.
When the Sifri says that you have to conquer Eretz Yisrael before you can conquer Syria, then what is considered Eretz Yisrael?
That's an excellent question, right? In other words, you have to conquer the boundaries, before going out of the boundaries. Which boundaries are we talking about? The Chor, if we're talking about the boundaries of Haftochat Avraham Avinu from Nahar Pras until Nachal Mitzrayim, the boundaries. The larger boundary, Surya is within those boundaries. Surya is before you get to Nahar Prat. And Surya is currently where Syria is currently. That's before you get to Iraq, before we move over to Nahar Prat. So Kanir'eh, the boundaries are the boundaries that Yehoshua was asked to conquer, and the boundaries of Yehoshua, in other words, go up in the north up to the area of the Banyas, where in order to Tel Dan is, which is still within what we call now Medinat Yisrael, in other words, that boundary is Be'erech, the boundary of Yoshua, those boundaries, from Tel Dan down to Beersheva, those boundaries that Yeshua was asked to conquer, and that conquering was completed by the Zekanim, by the Shoftim, and by David HaMelech, that those are the boundaries we're talking about. And then when you go beyond those boundaries, even though you're still within the Gvulot HaHavtachat Avraham Avinu, that would already be Kibush Yochid if you did it before you conquered everything within the more minor boundaries. Okay? Right. Right. Okay, the boundaries of what we're calling over here Olei Mitzrayim. The boundaries of Olei Mitzrayim should be conquered, and that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yoshua. And that goes up to the area in Yoshua before he died, even though he didn't conquer everything, made the Goro. And the Goral, in other words, went up to Be'erech, where the Banyas is, up to Be'erech, the boundary of Lebanon. Syria is beyond.
Is it more appropriate to say that this phrase is talking about whether a Kibbutz done out of order is foul or not, isn't it just talking about whether it's proper to do such a thing?
We'll come to that. That's a very good point. It's very, 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 very important. But that's necessary to understand the third Shita, and that's the Rambam Shita. Why do I call the Rambam Shita a third Shita? Well, if we open up the Rambam to Hilchos Trumos, and we begin to read within Perek Aleph, so we read that Eretz Yisrael, Amura b'chol makom, hi ba'aratzot shekivshan melech Yisrael, on Navi, mida'as rov Yisrael, v'zehu anikra kibush rabim. Avo yochid mi Yisrael, o mishpacha, o shevet, v'shahochu v'kavshu li'atzman makom, afilu min ha'aretz shenitna la'avraham, eino nikra Eretz Yisrael, k'dei shinogu bo kol ha'mitzvos. What over here appears to be the criteria of the Rambam? Tzorko, tzorkam. Right? In other words, that when it's done by Melech Yisrael, o navi midas rov Yisrael, rubo kukulo, we're dealing with tzorkam, then that's kibush rabin. When you're dealing with the tzorech of the individual, kavshu l'atzman, then that's kibush yochid. It appears to be Rashi, again, with different words, but basically Rashi. Comes on the Rambam next halacha and says, that's what David did. Ha'aratzo shekavash David chutzaretz kenan kigam aran naharayim, etc. He was an Elch Yisrael. It was al pi bezden ha'gadol, but b'chol zot, even though it met with the criteria of halacha beis, that's not the important thing. The important thing is she yatzu megnei yordu b'malas Eretz Yisrael shekava shalsam kovod chodem she yichbosh kol Eretz Yisrael elanisha bar ba mishivat amemim v'chulei ilu tafas karchil kanagul osela achar kach etc. Then it would work. Namely, what's the criteria of the Rambam of kibush yachid? Tosfos, the order, the sifri. We move over to Hilchos Malachim. And we find that dichotomy of Rashi and Tosfos is not divided within two halachos, but even within the same halacha. Kol aratzo shekoshin Yisrael b'melech al pi bezdin, hareza kibush rabin, reyu keretz Yisrael, v'hu shekvasho achar kibush kol eretz Yisrael, ha'amura batora. Namely, again, the Rambam begins with Rashi and concludes with Tosfos. Namely, what is the shita of the Rambam? Need both. And needing both, this is to answer that which was raised earlier, needing both means he's cholik on Tosfos. According to the Rambam, were David to have conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, and were David had gone to Aram Naharayim for his own grandeur afterwards, would that have been a Kibush Rabim or a Kibush Yachid? It would be Kibush Yachid. Because you need both criteria. It has to be A, Letzor Cham, and B, the right order. If we're missing either B or A, one or the other, then you're dealing over here with the level of kibush yachid. So we have over here three shitos. Rashi, one criteria. Tosos, only a second criteria. Baharaya, the bottom line of Tosos. Once the order is correct, then afilu yachid would create a tayor kedusha. Mashenken the Rambam, he has a combination of the two criteria. Yes?
Seems to imply originally in the first halacha in Trumos that within the borders of Israel, the offer of the conqueror would be a Kibush Yachid, but he seems to say that no, now it's a Kibush Rabin because of Yeshua's binding it up.
That Yoshua's kibush rabim would mean that anything else would be irrelevant within those boundaries. Correct. Once it was ready nichbash by Yehoshua, then it doesn't change the fact. And what the fact is that Yoshua divided the land and then Shevet Dan went and conquered its section. That's the kibush. That's the hemshech of the kibush rabim of Yoshua.
Does Rambam hold that either kibush yachid or kibush rabim not in order is nothing?
No, that's the din of kibush yachid. And kibush yachid, the Rambam paskins, is rav shmei kibush, namely that it doesn't have all the ma'alot of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have all the ma'alot of Eretz Yisrael. It would not have the ma'alot. It would not be a chiyuv of trumos and ma'isros midoraisa.
On a doraisa level, what does it have though?
On a doraisa level, what does it have?
There's two lines in the Rambam. In the nikkur Eretz Yisrael, the kibush and hold both kol ha'mitzvos.
Right.
Why is it that then in the nikkur Eretz Yisrael?
In terms of that, maybe I have a din of Eretz Yisrael in terms of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. It would have a din of Eretz Yisrael in certain respects, but not in terms of mitzvos atzuyos baretz. What else is there? In terms of bringing korbanos, you have to bring korbanos from the behemos of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it would have, we spoke about, in other words, it would have what we call Shem Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Okay, there are two points over here. One is the one that Binyamin mentioned, and the other is that which Rav Soloveitchik dealt with at great length in his Kuntras on Kiddush HaChodesh. The point that Binyamin mentioned is that the Sifri goes one step beyond Tosfos. Tosfos speaks about the order in terms of the result. Namely, that if you go in the right order, the result is going to be full Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. If you go in the wrong order, the result is going to be Kibush Yachid. We're talking about the result. What is the status after you go in the wrong order? That's the distinction that the Tosfos stresses. If one looks into the Sifri, what else does one see, Binyamin? What else is mentioned over there? Not just the question of what the result is, but... Nachon, exactly. That's exactly the phrase I wanted you to see in the Sifri. Shedavid asa shelo ketorah, that there's an isur to change the order. There's an isur. The Torah specifically has pasuk after pasuk. First, v'yirishtem goyim gedolim v'atzum v'chulei, and then kol makom asher tidroch kaf ragulchem. Namely, that there is an isur to change the order, and the Rambam stresses that isur as well. Not in Hilchos Trumos, and not in the Rambam that we read over here in Perakei Halacha Vav. Where does the Rambam deal with the isur of kibush yachid as opposed to the result of kibush yachid? I looked. It's in Malachim, yeah. Which Halachim? Halachos Malachim. The same parak. Correct. Right. Close. Hot. Parakei Halacha Aleph. It's the same Parakei Halacha Aleph. Ein haMelech Nilcham Tchila Ela Mechemes Mitzvah. V'Yezi Mechemes Mitzvah Zom Mechemes Shivas Amemim Mechemes Hamalek etc. Achar Kach Nilcham Mechemes Rishus. V'hi milchama she'nilcham m'shar ha'amim k'dei laharchiv gvul Yisrael laharbos gedulaso v'shim'o. Namely, that we have over here, ein ha'melech nilcham t'chila ela melchames mitzvah. If a melech would be nilcham, milchames reshus first, he's over on an Easter. Right? That we have an ein ha'melech. That's not just a question of what's going to be the status of that which he does. What the status is, that's perakei halacha vav. As to whether we have over here the proper kibush, we don't have the proper kibush. But over here in a Perakei Halacha Aleph, we're dealing with Iser and Heter. We're dealing with what the Melech should do and what he shouldn't do. This is the David Asa Shaloka Hogan, David Asa Shaloka Torah. Ein HaMelech Nilcham Tchila, that basically the Milchama on the Gvulos, that's a Milchamet Mitzvah. That's a Milchama of the Shiva Sa'amimim. And the Milchama of Aram Tzova, that already is Leharbot Gedulato. So even if it was done with the Bezdin, according to the Rambam, that's still improper because we don't have over here the right order. We're dealing with an Ein HaMelech. We're dealing with an Iser. We're dealing with an Iser. That's point number one. Yes?
Just a question on the system. So what happened? Based in, like, they did the wrong Pesach. They gave the wrong Pesach.
Yep. So if you want to know, should Bezdin at that time have brought a Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur? Yitachen. Because Klal Yisrael would follow the Bezdin. But so even though David did it via the Bezdin, and Yitachen Mo'od, according to the Rambam, as was pointed out, he did it for Tzarech Kol Yisrael, not for his own grandeur. He did it in order to be able to increase the food supply of Eretz Yisrael, the water supply of Eretz Yisrael, Well, I mean, that, nowadays, in other words, you make cheshbonos. If you conquer a certain land, you're going to get resources. You're going to, in other words, be in charge of the sources of water, v'chulei v'chulei, even if he did it, right? But the bottom line is that it was the wrong order, and as such, you know, it was an Iser. With Al Pi Bezdin, it was an Iser. Maybe that's why, I don't know whether they tried the Urim V'Tumim or didn't try the Urim V'Tumim. In other words, according to Rashi, he didn't try the Urim V'Tumim because he knew he wouldn't be answered because he did it with Tzarech Ko. According to Rami, he did it with Tzarech Ko Yisrael. So why didn't he bring in the Urim V'Tumim? So if he brought it all. So maybe somewhere subconsciously, you know, he realized he was doing something that he shouldn't be doing. Don't know. Okay. Maybe he could have had the Urim V'Tumim instead of the Pesach Vezdin, before the Pesach Vezdin. I don't know. It's a good question. Moving over to the second point I wanted to mention in terms of what the Rav stresses in his Kuntrus on Kiddush HaChodesh. Rav Shechter may have dealt with, I had to leave Rav Shechter's shiur to go to my daughter's engagement last Thursday, sorry. But he may have gotten to it after I left. And that is that the Rambam over here uses two expressions in one after the other. In Hilchos Trumos, going back to Hilchos Trumos, in Perek Aleph, he mentioned in Halacha Beis, Shekiv Shon Melech Yisrael, O Navi, Midas Rov Yisrael. Then in Halacha Gimel, he speaks about Melech Yisrael, Al Pi Bezdin Hagadol. Similarly, in Hilchos Melachim, in Perek He, he speaks about Melech Bezdin, Melech Al Pi Bezdin. He speaks about Rov Yisrael, and then he speaks about Al Pi Bezdin. So what appears from the Rambam is that we have over here a certain equation. That we have an equation between Bezdin HaGadol and Klal Yisrael. And this is what the Rav stressed, that Bezdin HaGadol within Halacha performs two functions. One function is that which is stressed by the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. Right after Hilchos Eidus, the Rambam deals with Hilchos Mamrim, with the Dinah of Zakei Mamre, etc. Rambam begins, Bezdin HaGadol B'Yerushalayim, Hilchos Mamrim, Perak Alf Halacha Aleph, Heim Ikar Torah Sheba Alpeh, Heim Amudei HaHora'ah, Mehem Chok U'Mishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael. Namely, Bezdin HaGadol is a source of Psak. It's a source of Psak. It's a source of Halacha. Bezdin HaGadol's role is to be a posek, to tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. There's a second role of Bezdin, and that is that Bezdin represents Klal Yisrael. Nothing to do with Psak. Simply that when we need a decision of Klal Yisrael, we have two options. One is to poll Klal Yisrael, and the other is to go to Bezdin HaGadol. And that's an equivalent criteria. What the Bezdin HaGadol will decide is they're speaking for Klal Yisrael, and that has the status of Klal Yisrael. The reason I mentioned that the Rav dealt with this in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is because within the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he uses two Lashonos dealing with what is the source. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashanah, Eila Mo'adai HaShetikru V'Hem Mikra'i Kodesh, Eila Hem Mo'adai. What, to whom was this mitzvah given to set up Rosh Chodeshim, the Lachem, and to set up, therefore, the Mo'adim? So at one point the Rambam mentions as follows. Eile Mo'adei Hashem asher tikru osam mikroi kodesh, tikru osam, that they were given to osam. Who was this osam? Ein li mo'ados ela elu. This is in mitzvah kufnun gimel. Mitzvah sasei kufnun gimel. Ein li mo'ados ela elu. So the Rambam says over there, "Anachnu, amnam nachashev hayom, kidei sheneida hayom shekov ubo bnei eretz Yisrael, ki mamalacha hazos ba'atma monim vekovim hayom v'chulei." Namely, Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah was given to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael, we know from all over the Rambam, are bnei Yisrael in eretz Yisrael. That defines Klal Yisrael. There's a din of Arvus when you cross the Yarden. So Bnei Eretz Yisrael are the ones who are Koveya, and our Luchot are just to tell us what was already Nikva by Bnei Eretz Yisrael. That's one Lashon of the Rambam. The second Lashon of the Rambam is Mishor Sheha Emuna, that everyone should believe. Shehu biyosenu hayom b'chutz la'aretz monim melecha so'ibur shebiyadenu v'omrim hayom rosh chodesh v'zeh yom tov lo b'necheshboneinu nikvu yom tov b'shum panim el b'nei shebezden ha'godol b'eretz Yisrael kvar kavu zeh hayom yom tov, etc. And with Nehemiah at one point, these differences talk about a few sentences. He speaks about that this is b'nei eretz Yisrael, and then he speaks about bezden ha'godol. Bezden ha'godol is 70, b'nei eretz Yisrael are thousands. Maybe in the millions. But this is one and the same. Namely, that this is Bezdan HaGadol, not in their realm of being posek, but rather Bezdan HaGadol in the realm of serving as Kal Yisrael. This is what we say in davening. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rashei Chadashim. Mekadesh Yisrael shemekadshim. Right? Rashei Chadashim. Yisrael. So I was Bezdan HaGadol. Yisrael and Bezdan HaGadol are one and the same. The rabbis say, Hu Adin, that's why in Birkas HaChodesh you say, Chaverim Kol Yisrael V'nomar Amen. This is the Kiddush of Kol Yisrael. That's why the Shliach Tzibra holds a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, Yisrael V'oraisa, in other words, Chadhu, the Sefer Torah also represents Kol Yisrael, namely that all of the ceremony of Birkas HaChodesh is to point out that this is all coming from the mitzvah that was given to Kol Yisrael. Chodesh Hazel Lachem. Okay, so over here, the fact that the Rambam uses the Lashon of Bezdan HaGadol and Rov Yisrael, this is Hainu Ha. So, three more Nekudot. What about Bizman Hazeh? What is the status of Eretz, of Medinat Yisrael, in which we have a nation, Baruch Hashem, that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the kibush of Tzahal. Right? There was a Tzva Hagana Yisrael that in 1948 conquered lands from Metula until Eilat, and the question is, what is the nature of this conquest al pi halacha? The nature al pi halacha. So, this has been dealt with by a number of forums. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal wrote an article, gave a shiur here in Eretz Yisrael on this topic in Mosheder Rav Kook, and it was published after he was niftar. So the Beis Yitzchak Lamed Dalad published all of his articles together. So the first article was called Din Hashtachim Amuchzakim L'Gabe Mitzvos Atzliyos Ba'aretz. So what is the status of Eilat in terms of what grows there in terms of mitzvos atzliyos baretz? This was not. Let's work with our criteria. If we're dealing with an area that had already been nisyashev by Olei Bavel, namely an area between Akko and Ashkelon, what would be the status in terms of mitzvos atzliyos baretz? No, I'm saying between Akko and Ashkelon. Before Medinat Yisrael was chayav. Namely, you don't need a kibush of Tzahal to deal with that. The moment that Olei Bavel were machzik in that land, even if there was a galus, and there were no Jews in that area for thousands of years, Baruch Hashem, the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was maintained. The question is, what outside of those boundaries, from Akko up northward, towards Nahariya, Metula, and from Ashkelon going southward, that was already nichbash by Tzahal, do we view that as a kibush yachid? And we paskin kibush yachid lav shemei kibush, or do we view that as a kibush rabim? And a kibush rabim, as was pointed out, is certainly better than a chazaka. Right? It outdoes a chazaka. It's the original kibush, even according to Reb Chaim. So let's take our criteria. What should be the din according to Rashi? Well, that's a machlokes between Daniel and myself. If Rashi has one criteria, tzorcho or tzorcham, clearly over here, this was a kibush l'tzorech Klal Yisrael. Right? In other words, there was no one in Tzahal who got any pieces of land from that which he conquered. They were conquering for the Jewish people. It was clearly Litzar Kam. That was the whole purpose, to create a nation. That's called Litzar Kam. If we take Daniel's understanding of Rashi, that we have two criteria. You need Shishim Rebo and Sarkam. We didn't have Shishim Rebo, the word Shishim Rebo at the time of Kuma Medina, and certainly there were no Urim V'tumim. So, but if we understand, no, you don't need Shishim Rebo per se. You don't need Urim V'tumim per se. Those simply point out that it was really done. Litzarach Kal Yisrael, like Rashi appears to be, by us, that it was the Kibush coming out of the Rabbim, that they chose representatives to go to battle, then, according to Rashi, we should have full Kedusha Sa'aretz in that entire area, with a Chiyuv of Trumos and Maestros to the maximum degree that's possible, Bismaneinu. According to the Rambam, it's still Drabanan, but it's a different form of a Drabanan. It's a Drabanan, we're missing the Bias Kuchem, but Becholzot, we basically have a very, very powerful Kibush. We would have the same status, pretty much, as the rest of Eretz Yisrael in that respect. If we take the criteria of Tosfos, I mean, what happened in 47? Yerushalayim was still not conquered. Hebron was still not conquered. Beit Lechem was still not conquered. Those are within the gvulos of Olei Mitzrayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said first, Yerashtem Goyim Gedolim, and then. So again, according to Tosfos, since we only have one criteria, and that criteria was not met, so this is a kibush yachid. It's a kibush yachid. It's not they didn't try, but that's not the point of whether you tried or not. The point is that, you know, it's what is your priority? Do you send your troops down to Eilat and up to Nahariya, or do you take all your troops and put them on, you know, to try and get Yerushalayim, Hebron, Beit Lechem, Vechulad? In other words, that according to Tosfos, this would be a kibush yachid. Chora. I see all of this. Okay, yes. Yes.
Even according to Tosfos, though, Yerushalayim and Hebron, all those places were previously conquered. Could you say that once there's already one kibush in Eretz Yisrael proper, so even if Pius at some point loses control of the land, it was already conquered by the Yeshua?
Or Babel.
Or the Babel even was conquered by it. And then at some point in history, we lost authority over that.
I hear what you're saying. It's possible. It's possible. That's possible. But, you know, we don't find that, you know, where it's... I mean, Tosfos doesn't mention that, you know, it had the first kibush, second kibush, third kibush. What appears from Tosfos is that if you're changing the order, then, you know, where it's... That's still a kibush yachid. In other words, that as long as... The same time that we have on David HaMelech, the Yevus is by Yerushalayim, so the Arabs are by Yerushalayim. What are you doing in Aram Sova if the Arabs are by Yerushalayim? Right. No, I hear what you're saying. Yitzchak, it's possible. It's possible. Yes?
Would it be considered an Israel?
We'll come in a minute to a different approach, but according to what I'm tossing, goading you. Okay. So I'm goading you. Yeah. It would be, according to this approach, would appear to be an Israel. And according to the Rambam, that has two criteria, right? So, but we need both. So according to Rambam, Litzor Cham, Tzahal did it for Klal Yisrael, yes, but we need the second criteria as well. You always need two criteria, so the Rambam will be like Tosos. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's article, I say, no. Not because of what Mordechai mentioned. Right? Even though I hear what you're saying, I think that it's certainly very, very kedai to think about in that direction, but for a very, very different reason. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik understood that the Rambam and Tosfos is about quoting the Sifri. He pointed out that the Sifri linked two issues. He linked the final status with the question whether it's mutar or aser. That David HaMelech's kibush was a kibush yachid because of he did something that was aser. The question over here, which was raised very properly, does that mean that this was aser? This milchama was aser? So if you call the Rambam began Hilchos Melachim Parakei by defining Milchemes Mitzvah. And the Rambam over there pointed out, Ein HaMelech Nilcham Techila Elo Milchemes Mitzvah. Eizo Milchemes Mitzvah. Zo Milchemes Shivas Hamamim. Nowadays, we have no idea who Shivas Hamamim are, post Sancheirev. O Milchemes Amalek. We don't know who genetically is Amalek, even though the Soloveitchik holds that there's an anomalic beyond genes that would apply to Germany, v'chule, but we don't know who the Amalek, the genealogical Amalek is, but there's a third Milchemes Mitzvah. Ve'ezras Yisrael miyatzar sheba aleihem. Namely, that the Milchama of 47 and the Milchama of... In other words, every war that Israel has fought in its history has been a defensive war. Has been a defensive war. That's a Milchemes Mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. It's not an Iser. So the moment we're dealing over here with a mitzvah, we can't speak about Kibush Yachid. In other words, v'acharkach milcham, milcham, milchemes reshus, etc., etc. To be milcham, milchemes reshus before milchemes mitzvah, that was the problem of David HaMelech. He went ahead and he was lochem and milchemes reshus, laharbos gedulaso v'shimo. Right? Before he finished the milchemes mitzvah. But over here we're dealing with the milchemes mitzvah. My nafkamina, whether you have a milchemes mitzvah over Yerushalayim, or you have a milchemes mitzvah against the Mitzrim in Eilat and against the Lebanese who are in Nahariya, it's the same milchemes mitzvah. So then that would fall off, and we would, you know, have, you know, according to Rashi, it's a kibush rabim. According to Tosfos, Pashtus also, the way the Rav Aaron Sof the Sabbath understood, it's not a kibush yachid because of the change in order. Change of order is to put a milchemes reshus instead in front of a milchemes mitzvah. Here, this is one milchemes mitzvah instead of another milchemes mitzvah. That's certainly mutar, and then that would already be kibush rabim. The Rambam, we have an issue, because the Rambam, we pointed out, requires Melech and Bezdin, or Rov Yisrael. Then you have the question, and this is dealt with in all of the volumes that came up since Kuma Medina, is there a concept nowadays of Malchus in terms of the Knesset, in terms of the Rosh Memshalah? In other words, can we view them as a quasi-Melech, that's, in other words, or no, that Malchus and democracy do not go hand in hand. Certainly, you know, it's a broader question, and so that therefore those territories certainly have the level of, I don't know, it's Halacha Maaseh, the Shem Eretz Yisrael, Klape Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, v'chulei. But in terms of Mitzvos Hatzlios Ba'aretz, here we have the Arava, the Drom Arava in Shemitah, that, you know, that we say that since this area was not his misyashev by Olei Bavel. And we're not sure in terms of the criteria of Kibush Rabim, this is an open question. So just be aware that this is totally in our sugya and the machlokas between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. I didn't mean to upset you by saying it was an Iser. I mean, you know, a Zionist. But I just wanted to, you know, to put Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's Chiddush into proper perspective. Yes?
What about the
basically one should duchen everywhere in the world. But the Rama says that in Europe they stopped duchening because of the lack of simcha. If you're in Golis, you don't have simcha. People in Eilat are very happy. The question is the other way around. Why in Haifa they don't duchen? So that's Rav Shari Yoshev Kohn, who was a Kohen. When the Jews settled in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, in Haifa and Sfat, then they don't duchen like we duchen every day. There are different minhagim. Some people duchen on Mondays and Thursdays. Some duchen only on Shabbos. Everyone, of course, duchens on Yantif. But not everyone duchens every day. So he tried to make a takana of the Rabbanut HaRashit of Haifa, that everyone should duchen, because why not? It's not understood. Why not? But, you know, it's Baruch Hashem. In Israel, of Neviim Heim, in Neviim Heim, no one is going to change their mitzvah. If my father didn't duchen, I'm not going to duchen. Right? So don't try and duchen in a place which doesn't. You'll get pelted with the srogim or whatever. Yeah. Not every day.
I saw a sign there. It said, "Minhag Ashkenazim to duchen only on Shabbos Musaf."
Okay. So, anyways, it depends on the shul, whichever shul. It depends on which shul you daven in. Minhag. The Sfarad didn't have one minhag. You have to check if you're a kohen. Yes. Fine. Nachon. The problem is that David HaMelech went afterwards and conquered Yerushalayim as well. But that didn't change what happened, that he conquered Aram Tova first. It's an interesting theory. Yitzchein. It's like what Mordechai mentioned. Yitzchein. It's possible. You know, write an article. No, what you try and do is find the precedent, find the Lashon and the Rishonim that would back up such an approach. It's possible. Certainly it's possible. But, you know, it's the conventional wisdom is that just like David HaMelech first went to Aram Tov and then Yerushalayim, that didn't change retroactively the nature of Aram Tov. I don't know over here whether this would change retroactively whatever criteria, whatever nature there would be to... But it's very convenient for us to have the Drom Arava to get vegetables from during Shemitah. So I don't know if anyone wants to raise your criteria and say that since 67 we can no longer use those vegetables. Yeah?
Israel would go down to the north or whatever and conquer present Lebanon. So if they're doing it after Jerusalem, so then that would be...
Yeah, there was a whole... I mean, you have to understand, this was a Maisa Shehaya, and there were two wars in Lebanon. Second war, they didn't spend a long time. So, you know, when Kefan and I were in the army, right? When we were in the army, and, you know, during the first Lebanon war, we were in Lebanon for a very, very long time. And at that time, there were all sorts of questions in terms of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. I mean, we didn't get fruit from Lebanon. That wasn't the... But people who were there and had a question, if they bought fruit, you know, should they be Shumos and Maestros now that that land was under them? But in terms of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios and the army camps, it was a very, very serious question. You know, like, what exactly do you do? Have the army camp only keep one day of Yom Tov, and the Lebanese next door, I mean, the Jews next door in Sur, keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, it was a very fascinating time, a very, very interesting time. Yeah?
Would it matter that not all of Jerusalem is under the jurisdiction of the United
States? Now, it is. It's maybe, you're correct. I mean, Bechiel Adoros. That would undermine David's theory. But
technically.
Okay, so you have to define. How does one define kibush? Okay. Let's say this. One more point. Yeah. According to Tosfos, let's say now that all of the Gvul, let's assume that Harabayis is Biyadeinu, right? That all of the Gvulot of Oli Mitzrayim are in our hands. If someone were now to buy a home in the five towns, like your parents own homes in the five towns, are they chayav in mitzos hatzuyos ba'aretz if they grow fruit in their backyard? Because according to Tosfos, once already you have the area of Eretz Yisrael being conquered, then afilu yachid, even a yachid, Tosfos says, his kibush is no longer a kibush yachid. His kibush is already considered to be a kibush rabbin. And the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Trumos that buying land is certainly no worse than kibush. Namely, the ikar is the ownership. That if you have land that was bought by a goy and then a Jew bought it from the goy, the Rambam says that's considered to be kibush. That purchasing from the goy, and the Keren Kayemet bought the lands from the goyim. That had a status of kibush according to, not of chazak, of kibush, according to the Rambam. Akum shekona karka beretz Yisrael lo efkia mina mitzvos harayu b'kdushasa lefikach emchazi Yisrael lo kocha mimenu eina kekibush yachid ela mafish trumos and maestros ubim vikurim ki lo nimkara la akum meyolam. Namely, that kinyan is the equivalent of kibush. So is that really the case? So that question was raised as a theoretical question by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik before, you know, there was a Kuma Medina. And in Nefesh HaRav, on page Pei Gimel, the Rav raised this question, does that mean that my home in Boston, in my backyard, I am Chayav in Trumas and Maisras? And the Rav came up with a Chiddush for which, you know, it's, again, sometimes things make sense, but the question is there a Makar for it? The Rav said, he wanted to give a Mashal. He said, what is the din of the Sifri that you have to first conquer Eretz Yisrael and then go outwards? What's wrong with doing it in the wrong direction? So he said that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is like filling a goblet. You have wine and you fill a goblet, let's say for Havdalah. When it gets to the top of the goblet, you keep pouring. When it keeps pouring, then it pours over the sides and surrounds the goblet. The goblet is like Eretz Yisrael. When you fill Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha, then what overflows also can have Kedusha. If the goblet isn't full, we don't care about what's around. The goblet for us to be filled, and then it overflows. So So I said, when the goblet overflows, the wine around the goblet is contiguous to the goblet. But if you were to fill the goblet and then spritz some wine on the other side of the table, that's not considered to be a continuity of the goblet. So the dira in Boston has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Once Eretz Yisrael is conquered, then when you move contiguously outwards, even a yachid who were to go outwards, some would decide to, in other words, that he's conquering this hilltop in Jordan, in other words, so before he's destroyed by the Israeli commandos, if he conquers that hilltop, right, so that may have then Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But if someone decides to go to Turkey and to buy a dira there, then that's like buying in Boston, etc. The mashal is very, very beautiful, and everything is fine, but we don't find it anywhere. In other words, it's a svara. It's a svara that would explain why in the five towns there's no mitzvah satulias baritz currently. For anyone who, I'm talking about when you bought your apartment after 67. Anyone who purchased since 67, then the question is, or you can simply, we don't pass like Tosfos. That's also. The Rambam says you need two criteria. You'd have to make your land litzor kam, say you were establishing a hemshech Jerusalem too. In the five towns, and you're opening up to Klal Yisrael, so before you're destroyed by the American commandos, maybe at that point there would be Kedushas Eretz according to Tosfos. But in any case, it's an interesting question to raise. Yes.
Well, we do have the idea from the Gemaras of the Gvul. So when you say that, just you can't the Gvul is there's just one Gvul there to Yisrael, and you can expand that. You can't make a new Gvul somewhere else.
But David HaMelech, when he went to Aram Tzova, right? So that's the example that we have. He made a new gvul. And we say that, why was that Kibush Yochid? Because he made the new gvul. It was a new gvul that he made. Why did he make the new gvul? What?
It wasn't contiguous?
It wasn't necessarily, to the best of my knowledge, contiguous. I don't know. I mean, I can't promise you one way or the other. I don't know. I guess the Rav would say it was contiguous. But I don't know whether it was or it wasn't, or whether that's a relevant factor. Simply, the language of Tosfos is Kol ma shekovshim michutz la'aretz hayakadosh afilu yachid. Achar shekol eretz yisrael kavshua. Then Kol makom shetidro kaf raguchem Kol ma shayukovshim michutz la'aretz hayakadosh afilu biyachid. It doesn't say you have to expand the gvul. Okay, we'll stop over here. What I'd like to move to on Yom Revi'i is the sugya of Tumas Eretz Amanin, and hopefully we'll get into Amira La'akum as well. Okay.